listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roshni, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus, the Christ who comes to us in peace. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today's gospel text, today's lessons, today's good news is for the tired believers. It's for those of us who are a little bit, and especially for those of us who are very tired and frightened about what the future holds. If that's not you, if you're not tired or worried, then say a prayer of thanksgiving in the season of Thanksgiving. And come stand with those who are tired in this place, in this world. This is a text for those who look around and see a world that has abandoned the teachings of Jesus and the prophets. The text I just read said, "You will be hated by all because of my name." Maybe that's true for Christians today in some circles and in some places in the world where Christians are hated because of the name of Jesus. But mostly in our culture, I think the contemporary version of this is not that we will be hated, but really just treated with apathy or ignorance or misinterpretation, which in some ways is even worse. If you're hated, then at least your argument has got a little traction. It's getting under someone's skin and they hate you. But if you're ignored, well then, you don't even have a place. Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize recipient Elie Wiesel once said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy, it's indifference." Do you ever feel totally insignificant or ignored, without a place, without a voice? Not even given the affirmation of a counter-argument, just brushed off. Perhaps by the culture, perhaps by our leaders and lawmakers, always by the weather, pretty insignificant face of storms, other weather patterns. Perhaps feel insignificant or brushed off by the church, perhaps by your family and friends. "You will be irrelevant because of my name," Jesus might say to us today. And again, if you're not feeling like that, then praise God, thank God, and come stand next to those who are during these days. Today's gospel message is for those of us tired followers of Jesus, feeling unimportant and hopeless, like our work and our words are in vain, and the ship is going down. So why bother? What's the point? Who cares? This gospel is for those of us who can feel ourselves being sucked into all that apathy and ignorance and misinterpretation flying around us like a typhoon. It's easy to just give ourselves to the gale force typhoon winds of this culture. Take care of yourself. It's all about you. Cover yourself. They are not your problem, so protect yourself, security, personal security, draw your circle of family tight and neat, and don't worry about anybody else but you and yours, because the ship is going down. Watch for those subtexts all through this holiday season as the ads come flying by us, whipping past us like wind. I grew up on the Gulf Coast, as many of you know, and I've been in a few typhoons, although on the Gulf Coast we didn't call them typhoons, we called them hurricanes. Same thing though, different part of the world. And I've got this image in my head of Christians in a typhoon with this text, these texts for today. Christians in a typhoon. Now Christians, like any creature, would seek cover during a typhoon. But then they wait for the storm to pass, and as they wait, they toil away together in a safe place. They don't just give up. They would gather together and work away. maybe in a basement somewhere or a community center or a church. They would gather together and work away. They would be together, I imagine, knitting and quilting, assembling packets for those who are out there caught in the storm, planning their strategy for reaching out very soon, as soon as they can get out, assisting one another with words of comfort, bandages, hugs, and long conversations. I imagine there are Christians in this moment gathered in the Philippines doing that very thing. Small teams would even venture out into the storm to gather in those who could not find shelter. Christians in a typhoon, they would risk their lives for the stranger. And when they returned with a cold, wet, lost child or an elderly adult, all would be greeted at the door and ushered in with blankets and bowls of tomato soup and plates of grilled cheese and a cot with a pillow. Christians in a typhoon. The typhoon pounds all around and the Christians wait and work. And then a time would come for worship underground. They would gather in a dark place, these Christians in a typhoon. They would sing and they would pray and then read scripture by candlelight. They'd hardly have to look at the passages, though, about the early believers riding out storms, lights shining in the darkness, life overcoming death, peace in times of chaos. They'd hardly have to look at those passages because they'd already know them by heart, and they would hang on to every word from that holy book. And then eat. They would eat, Christians in a typhoon. They would eat the body of life and the blood of forgiveness. And they would be filled with all physical evidence to the contrary. Perhaps they'd only have a few crumbs and a little bit of grape juice or wine to share, but they would all eat and they would be filled with all physical evidence to the contrary. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today's text is about hunkering down, patiently working, lovingly watching, thoughtfully reaching, and faithfully hoping. The Gospel of Luke is written by the same author as the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. And commentaries remind us that this text from Luke, especially the bits about the hardship that is to come, the imprisonment, the ridicule, the persecution, it's, of course, a foreshadowing of what happens later in the book of Acts. One of these events in the book of Acts, there's a story of Paul. Maybe you remember it. Paul traveling by sea with his comrades. Later on, much later in the book of Acts, chapter 27, he's traveling with his comrades by sea, and everyone on the boat, kind of like that story with Jesus and the disciples, everyone on the boat is just terrified. They're scared about what's about to happen because, of course, they're caught in the storm. But Paul speaks to them, and he says this, "I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. Do not be afraid. God has granted safety to all who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage." The ship is going down, and you'll be okay, Jesus says to his disciples. The ship is going down, and you'll be okay. Jesus is unimpressed by the temple. The disciples walk up to it. In Bible study this week, we pulled up pictures of that temple in Jerusalem. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. Temple adorned with all this classic marble and jewels just covering the building. And what a wonderful work of art it was. Jesus is unimpressed by the building, by the ship, if you will, by the church. You know, we design churches, call them naves. Does anybody call this place a nave? They're called naves, which is like navy, ship, boat, ocean. And they're designed to look like Paul, a ship upside down. Lots of churches have these ribs so that it looks like a ship. Jesus is unimpressed by the temple, by the building, by the ship. Bricks and stones and fancy cargo will all go down, but you'll be okay. In one sentence, Jesus says, you will be betrayed and some even put to death. And in the very next sentence, he says, but not a hair on your head will perish. Malachi said the same thing in the first lesson. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with wings of healing. One of my favorite passages from the Psalms. Sorrow spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is a text about hunkering down, patiently enduring. For by your endurance, Jesus says, you will gain your souls. The Greek word for that is psuche. Souls might not be the best translation. Psuche means mind. By your endurance, you'll gain your mind or your sanity or your calmness. By your endurance, you'll gain your calmness. Our Buddhist sisters and brothers teach chop wood, carry water. Ever heard that? Chop wood, carry water. Go back to the basics. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, don't weary in doing what's right. Hunker down, chop wood, carry water, wash, bake, stitch, weed the garden. One of the great quotes attributed to Martin Luther, if I knew the world would end tomorrow, I would plant an apple tree today. The ELCA's malaria campaign goes on. Not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I think it's a great illustration. Talk about patiently enduring, planting an apple tree today in the face of a plague of malaria that is covering sub-Saharan Africa. Lutherans are just, we'll just try our best. We'll take it on. We're going to try to wipe it out. And in fact, we are making great progress as a national church body. One example, hunkering down. Sisters and brothers in Christ, patiently doing what is right. This is our lesson for today. And we do it not alone. We endure with all tangible evidence to the contrary. We endure in the glorious company of all the saints who are with us, who we celebrated a few weeks ago, and who we celebrate each time we gather together. We don't do this work alone. We endure together, and we endure with Christ, who says, my peace be with you. Jesus says, my peace I leave you, my peace will never, ever abandon you. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.